Sisters and brothers, Scripture gives us words of life that, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lead us to Jesus, who is the Word of life. Let us listen then for that word in this lesson. It comes from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. But then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was not one of them found to return and to give praise to God except this man?" And then Jesus said to the man, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. Well, I don't know about you, but in our house, the season of Christmas movies has already begun. At 24 Maple, we watch a lot of the classics and a fair number of the not-so-classics, or maybe it's better to say the not-yet classics. We love those too. But you know, I am very much a lover of Thanksgiving, and so part of why we start so early with Christmas is simply that there really aren't any Thanksgiving movies that you can watch instead, right? I mean, certainly there are really none that feel like required holiday viewing. Right? I mean, okay, yes, Miracle on 34th Street, it begins with Thanksgiving, but we know as soon as Natalie Wood gets her mother to invite the guy across the hall for dinner, Thanksgiving is done. There's the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special. It's pretty good. I like it. Yes, of course. The culminating Friendsgiving is really, that's very sweet, but really that's all there is there. We know it. The only one that maybe is in a little bit of a different category, at least for me, is that Steve Martin, John Candy movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is about two strangers who get thrown together trying to get home to Chicago for Thanksgiving after a series of epic misadventures. In that movie, of course, the real kicker comes at the end. All along, the two guys have been profoundly different. That's kind of the backbone of the whole comedy. Steve Martin, typically enough, is kind of intense. He's inclined to complain when he whines. It's mostly funny till it's not. John Candy, by contrast, is sort of happy-go-lucky, but a little bit of a bumbler. And their bickering and the bad luck is sort of what drives the whole thing. Finally, though, have you guys seen this movie? Do you know this movie? There's some of you. All right, we're here, right? They get where they're going, right? To this L station in the loop in Chicago. They shake hands like men do with a kind of well-meaning finality between them. And Steve Martin gets on the train to go just that last few miles out to the burbs, out to home. But, you know, he's looking out the window after this kind of epic journey that he's had, and the city goes by, and his mind kind of wanders. He begins thinking about this whole experience that he's had, and suddenly he puts it together in a way that he had not quite until that moment. He realizes, as he remembers a few kind of strategic silences, some body language from the other guy that he had not quite picked up on before, that in fact, His traveling companion doesn't have a place to go. That he doesn't have family and friends who are waiting for him. And that all along, his warmth, his kind of happy-go-lucky way were masking a much more complicated and painful story. A story of loss. And Martin has that kind of light bulb moment. And he turns around. He goes back to the station where he just left his fellow traveler, and sure enough, there the guy is, sitting there alone, sort of in an empty station, sadly staring off into space. And indeed, the situation is just as Martin has realized. And so then, in the last couple of minutes of the movie, all their bickering is forgiven, and Martin invites the guy to come join his own family for Thanksgiving. It's lovely. It's lovely. Except maybe we shouldn't be so quick to say, of course, with that invitation. Maybe we shouldn't say that quite so quickly. Maybe it's fair to say that it takes a little doing to get to that, of course. If he puts the truth together in time, if he decides to backtrack toward that original station, if the guy still turns out to be there, if all the ifs line up like that, right? Well, then, in that case, of course, come to dinner. Do you ever have those moments where you think to yourself, you know, I should really do something. I should really call them. I should really send them a note. I should really stop by and say hello. You ever drive by someone's house and you're like, oh, yeah, the cars are there. I should stop in. There are a lot of things that we should really do, right? We really should. Organizing the basement is something that we should do. I was thinking about that yesterday as I was bringing up dutifully Christmas ornaments. Remember in the 90s when everybody, we had to check all our basements for radon? Right? We should really do that. Stocking up on icy melt for the front walk, that's something we should do. The list of our should things, it's a long, long list, but today I'm talking more about those things we really should do when it comes to other people. So often, it's like those realizations kind of bubble up for just a moment, but then the bubble pops, right? Something else we should really do before we go pull in and say hi. Well, that, we start thinking about that. And the moment, the impulse passes. If you think about it, it's not so obvious how all our ifs, our own ifs, line up in order to get us to, of course. And yet there are moments, right? There are moments when we put two and two together. And there are moments even beyond those where it's like we put two and two and then two more together, and we actually make that effort that Steve Martin makes in the movie, that effort to turn back, to make good on our passing realizations and then turn them into something that's a little more durable. And this morning's gospel describes a moment that is like that, a moment when someone manages to put two and two and then another two together. And the place where the story that you heard in the gospel today is thought to have happened is now known as Berkin. It's about a mile and a half from the city of Jenin, which is on the West Bank and now is part of the Palestinian Authority. It is a very hot area now. In this town, the fourth oldest church in the Holy Land sits, And it actually rests on a cave. And that cave was the original church. And the cave itself is remembered locally as the place where the 10 lepers had been quarantined. And according to local telling, it was actually their cries from that cave that drew Jesus over, that drew him closer. And if you go to this place, apparently, you can still see a hole in the floor of the current church that is a hole in the roof of the old cave. And it's there, they said, that people used to drop food or water or alms for the folks who were down there. And it's from that hole that their cries would have been heard. Now, if you're thinking about the story that we read this morning, and you're like, I didn't catch the part about the cave is not in the story as Luke tells it. But it helps us in its way, I think, to imagine the isolation and the sadness of such a place. The isolation and the sadness of the people who would have been in there. Imagine for a moment how they must have spoken of home if they allowed themselves to speak of it at all. Luke says that Jesus calls them, and maybe it was Jesus standing right above that hole in the cave and calling right down, and the cave where these folks are sitting is suddenly echoing with the voice of God, like the tomb of Lazarus telling them to come out. And you didn't need to tell them twice. Of course you didn't. They don't wait. They don't ask questions. They don't stand around for a quick selfie. They are gone. Like most of us probably would be, running to catch that flight, trying to make it home in time for Thanksgiving. When they look down as they're on their way out, and for the first time in ages, they're clean, free of disease, free to learn to return to the land of the living. Free. Except one of them seems to put two and two and two together. And unlike the others, he does this powerful thing. He turns right back around. You got to figure he would have been as eager to get home as any of the rest, but he recognizes that this moment is actually inviting him to respond, to offer something in return, to do something durable. And so he comes back and kneels at the feet of Jesus to say thank you. Thank you to God. And as Jesus says, it's a gesture that signifies not only that he has been made clean, they all were, but in his case, something even deeper is happening. He, we're told, has been made well. And that's something. Now, I think it's a misreading to suggest that the other nine were somehow not thankful too. It's a parable that when it gets preached, there's a lot of finger wagging that happens in the first part of the sermon. Like the other guys were not thankful. I'm sure they were. I'm sure that back home, somewhere after their third plateful of Thanksgiving, everything with their families sitting at the table being like, what on earth is happening? The village outside trying to look in. Must have occurred to them, each one of them, that they could have taken a moment back at the cave to say thank you. I'm sure that for many of them, there wasn't a single night after that that they went to bed without remembering and giving thanks for Jesus. So when, as I said, sermons on this story tend to wag their finger a little bit and underline what is sometimes described as cultivating an attitude of gratitude, they talk about it as if it's just the one who turns back who feels grateful, but I don't think so. That's too simple. I think the point is actually rather that in our gratitude, we are invited to respond. Because it's great to be grateful, and they should be, and I think they are. But don't you wonder, you know, now that they're back, what happens? I mean, what happens? The next time a leper or some other poor person finds their way to the edge of the village, what will these guys do? It's interesting, you know, you can imagine that quarantine cave that, you know, we talked about probably wasn't the only one back in that part of the world at that time. Maybe they had a local quarantine cave of their own and they'd never really thought about it before. Never really seen it, noticed it. But on the other side of their own affliction and their own healing, now they know the darkness of that kind of place. Now they are themselves fluent in the cries that come from it. So it may not be them or their child who's in there now, but they know full well each person in that cave is someone's child. Each person in that cave is one of God's children. They should remember. Having been made clean, how will they respond? That's the question. And so this story that we have this morning isn't simply about remembering to feel the right feelings. It's a story about turning around. Because the gestures that we make, the steps that we take, these are what show what is well with our souls. And Jesus is challenging us this morning to think about how it is that we respond, what thankfulness does in us. Personally, I wish there were more Thanksgiving movies, more stories about unexpected guests and accidental friendships, more stories about moments of realization that because of God, we belong to one another and always have and always will, and that we're charged with being one another's keeper, and we always have been. We always will be. I think we need more stories about making room at the table and turning around to seek one another. And so as we give thanks this weekend and in these days, may our thanking always take the form of giving. And may our hearts continue to be shaped by that further kind of gratitude. Amen.